This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We want to let you know that this show is being sponsored by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And it's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H. That's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And if you're having trouble at home keeping up with your duties and you feel like that you may have to move out of your home, well, you don't have to. They'll come in 24/7, take care of all your responsibilities inside the house, and they'll also run errands for you. All the things that you have had to do in the past, you won't have to do any longer. Just sit back and enjoy your life. I guarantee you, you've deserved it. Give them a call, 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. Well, we have Mr. Butch Vaughn on today, and Butch, you were on earlier, and we were talking about Providence Academy, and while we were on, we did not discuss sports at all, and somebody was telling me the other day that you guys have a great sports program out there, and I was wondering, it must have been kind of like a miracle because you've got Randy King over, and how is that working out?
Well, you know, I'm not a smart guy, but you always hire the best you can.
Mm-hmm. And he can't hit a softball. Absolutely cannot hit a softball.
I know that's
because every time we would pitch to him when we would have games, the softball would get lost somehow.
Right. Yeah, they outlawed him, I think, in the city for losing softballs. So, but we've been friends a long time, and we made an agreement years ago that when one of us goes out, the other one goes out. So he's the person I thought about when I left and talked him into coming to PCA to be the athletic director, and we've been very blessed. We've got good coaches and great kids, and you know, it's just enjoyable to watch them play. And I told Randy, I said, you know, the good thing about these kids is, you know, they remember what you tell them. So
it's different, Randy, isn't it, being in a private school than being in a public school? I mean, it just seems to be the whole atmosphere is different.
Right. It's totally different atmosphere. I mean, we've got, like Butch said, we've got some great kids over there. You know, and while we were at Oakland, you know, there was, you know, we had a lot of good kids there, too.
Had
you
some
know.
Great teams, too.
We had some good teams. And, you know, we were blessed to have good players and be in good circumstances and have good administrators like Butch. You know, Butch was over there, and, you know, I'm thankful he gave me an opportunity to come to Providence. You know, it's just been a great opportunity for me. I really look forward to going to school each day because of the atmosphere and the kids there. And we're just trying to work to build our programs, our basketball programs. You know, we won 3 out of 4 championships, 2 middle school championships, both boys and girls, and then our girls won the high school championship. We're talking about in the Middle Tennessee Athletic Conference, mm-hmm. the conference that we play in that have schools, you know, like Providence. Some of the schools are like Curry Ingram, Franklin Classical, Franklin Christian. And we were fortunate to win it, our girls, because this was only their second year. So, mm-hmm. But it's a blessing to be over there. And, you know, like I said, that, you know, and I think Butch can say this too, there were some good times that we had at the public schools, mm-hmm. but it's just changed so much. And now we're in a situation where you have kids that are wanting to learn and parents are there. There's so much parent involvement. And I think that's the big difference in the private schools and the public schools. You got the parents involved. And if we could get that at the public schools, I think we'd be much better off.
Now, you and Butch have been around long enough. You go back to the old days when when things were a whole lot different,
right,
in public schools. And they still have some great teachers. They have,
right.
They have a lot of great leaders. I really hate to see Harry Gill go. I mean, but mm-hmm. You know, I guess Harry he deserves his retirement. If anybody ever deserves it, it's him. But you guys have a great foundation built up from all the experiences that you've had in the public school system.
Well, they say we know a lot of people, you know, and you're speaking
well,
of Harry.
Helped.
Yeah. You know, Harry's done a great job, I think, since what time
really
he's
has.
Been in. And, of course, you know, Butch, he did a great job at Oakland when he was over there. He started, you know, we just had, you know, Siegel was built. We lost a lot of kids to Siegel, and we lost a lot of good kids, you know, to Siegel. And then he comes in and starts the IB program over there. And and I think that's really helped Oakland out a lot. You know, I was there the first year that they started it, and you could see what it was going to be like. And I think now it's really going well, and they're getting a lot of kids throughout the county that qualify for the IB programs, and it's helping their athletics too. So I think that's really a good thing for Oakland, and Butch is the one who started that over there.
Well, you know, I hate to see Harry quit. You know, Harry, he was such a great guy, but, you know, he was always so fair with it. You know, he would hire great people, and he would always just, you know, like when I went to Oakland, he said, you know, you do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he holds you accountable, but he supports everything you do. And, you know, I really hope they get somebody local to take his place. But, you know, Harry has done such a great job working with the commissioners and all like that. It's just a very difficult job, and I don't think Harry's received the recognition that he should have for what he's
really
done.
Hasn't.
You know, when you're at the top of the state in about every area year in, year out, and the people he's hired, you know, it's just amazing to me why people didn't support him and recognize him even more than they did.
I think people really didn't understand the amount of responsibility and pressure that Harry had to deal with on a daily basis. He had to deal with the education process and then building all these schools and having to hire so many new teachers and all the curriculum changes that have gone about in the last few years. Harry Houdini couldn't have pulled one off during all that time. It was just amazing. And the thing that always stood out in my mind was that we knew, being close to that process, what was going on. But it doesn't seem like that, you know, the thing that bothered me more than anything, I guess, was the one-year contracts. And if anybody's ever worked in a situation where you're kind of got a thumb on you the whole time that you're trying to supervise something that as large as that system is, that is tough.
It's almost impossible. You know, there's no way I'd even think about, you know, taking a job like that. I mean, it takes time to build, and, you know, especially when you got to undo and then put it back together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to have great, great people. I think that's one advantage that we have at Providence. One, you know, we got Randy's known as a great coach, but he's a great math teacher, but we're very selective in who we hire. And, again, we don't let any classes get over 15. And, you know, that makes all the difference in the world. And, like Randy said, the parent involvement. But when you got 15 in a class, you know, you get to know the kids and they get to know you. And, you know, Harry's always tried to do that in public schools, but he's really just faced so much opposition. But, you know, that I think anybody knows that the fewer kids you got, the better off you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just I don't know. They're talking on the state level about increasing class size, you know, which I don't know what they're thinking.
That really doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. So I'm just glad I don't have to fool with it anymore.
Well, you really had a coup when you hired Randy, because Randy has been one of the most successful coaches in the Middle Tennessee area and also in the state. And Randy, what is the biggest difference in coaching in a private school and coaching in a public school? And I know it's probably harder to get the top athletes in a private school.
Right, I think that's the biggest thing, is, you know, getting the athletes there, because of, you know, we're a classical school and our academic standards are pretty high, and also mm-hmm. we've had the tuition too that's pretty steep, and you know, getting kids to come over there. And also one of the things that we're dealing with is trying to, you know, keep our students there. You know, in the last couple of years, you know, we've had Central Magnet opened up, and and the good programs, the IB programs at Oakland, that hurts us a little bit. And we just, you know, try to keep our athletes there. And we want to get to the point that we can offer those sports, you know, that will keep the kids there and make them want to stay there and just, you know, try to build something really good. And I'd say the number one thing is if you just don't, you know, you just don't have the great athletes that you have. But we have a lot of smart kids that, you know, I always felt like that if you play smart that you can make up for your non-athletic ability. And we do have some very smart kids over there.
Are you going to have a full football program?
We're striving. We've got a great football field. We've got an outstanding football field. But, we need, you know, a lot of kids to play football.
And, right.
We're working on that. I think our eighth grade class that moves up this year is going to be one of the bigger classes that's moved up. And we've been playing eight-man football, you know, just because of the numbers, which is really exciting. I mean, especially on a big field, if you got some athletes, it's really this exciting, high-scoring game. But we're striving to, you know, have football and baseball and all the major sports and even some of the minor sports like tennis and golf. You know, Butch is trying to get the golf going. You know, he's a great golfer. From what I understand, so.
From what he says
in my dreams.
No, I've seen him. He's pretty good, you know. So, but we just, you know, we're just trying to build all the programs over there and making the kids, you know, want to stay over there.
Are you going to have how long will it be before you actually have football at the high school level?
Well, I don't know.
Something that's hard.
That's kind of hard to predict. If we can keep 15 to 20 kids each. Mm-hmm. Each year and you know, get it up to about 80 or 100 in high school, and you know, maybe we can have a pretty good football team, and you know, that's what we're striving to do, you know. And it's, you know, we're not gonna be able to do it next year, but you know, hopefully in a year or so we can do that.
The economy, has it affected the private schools that much, Butch?
It's affected them, I guess, basically everywhere, but we've got our numbers in and we've really already been enrolled and applied and accepted for next year more students than what we have this year. We've got 320 something already applied and accepted for next year. So we really feel blessed. A lot of schools are having a difficult time, but this year we were the same, and next year we're going to have a bigger enrollment. And you know, we got some things on the table we're looking at to even expand that program. But you know, the main thing is, you know, Randy and I both feel like it's really important for every kid to be part of something. And, you know, we're just trying to – we got every sport imaginable, I guess, either getting started or already started. And, you know, just to feel part of a team, you know, it just – it teaches a lot about leadership and teamwork and things of that nature. And, of course, you know, us being, you know, Christ-based has really helped us. You know, the environment there is just it's just phenomenal. And it's like Randy said, you know, when you start the week with prayer and you have chapel every week and, you know, those type of things, it just makes all the – I just wish every kid had the opportunity to do that.
Sounds a little bit kind of like when we went to school, doesn't it?
Yes.
Many years ago.
Yes.
and how things changed. But if you remember back when we played at Central, there was only football – and basketball.
Right.
That was it.
That's it.
And now it has just seemed like it's grown so much in so many fields, which is good because there are a lot of kids that really couldn't play football or
right.
or basketball. I was always kind of a little bit aggravated because they wouldn't ever get a baseball team. But Mr. Pate did not want a baseball.
Didn't want a baseball.
Because he coached football and
yeah.
basketball.
American Legion was really good here.
Oh,
you know,
gosh,
like you say,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
We just,
Mr. John Jolly.
Yeah, and they just couldn't ever get them started. But, you know, it's just amazing to me. Randy and I talking, our grandkids are playing soccer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it's just amazing how many kids play soccer. You know, when we were growing up, we didn't even know what soccer ball was. But, you know, like Randy said, we're starting – golf and tennis and, you know, just every kind of sport available. And we have we've got a big play coming up where there's a lot of kids, 75 kids involved in it. Mm. And Daniel Gregory's doing that, and it's just it's phenomenal to watch our kids, you know, learn and grow up. And we talked to one of our kids today that got a full scholarship to Sanford, and Alabama, and he was talking today about he's in all the honors classes over there, and everything they've had, he's already learned when he was at Providence, so that makes you feel pretty good. So, you know, when you got curriculum like that, you got teachers that are just phenomenal, and you know, you got to get the right people and put them in the right places. And like I say, I'm not very smart, but I'm smart enough to hire good people. So that's the reason I brought Randy with me. So.
You know, one of the things, Randy, about the advantages of today, my grandkid, which I am fortunate enough to be an assistant coach with my son, he lets me do that. They play on some of the best fields. I mean, those are dream fields for us when we were kids.
Right.
The NBA over on Barfield, oh, my goodness, I wish we had had fields like that when we played.
Yeah, these fields are outstanding. I mean, this is where they play, have the spring fling, and they have all the baseball here. And, I remember Mr. Jolly, you mentioned him earlier, and they honored him just this past week. Before they would start a game out there at Oakland, they'd pick up rocks off the field.
Oh yeah,
and they just had a backstop, and that's about it, you know. And but now the fields are, you know, my son played in minor leagues, and some of those fields are much better than the ones he played at, especially at the lower levels, the rookie ball and the low A. These
better
fields here
than
are better.
Down.
Yes, they are.
Okay, guys, get your ears on. We have a caller. Caller, welcome aboard with Randy King and Butch Vaughn.
Gentlemen, it's Larry Stewart. I just wanted to call in and tell Butch and Randy what a great job they're doing. And Butch's got some of my former teachers at Las Casas, and I know what good teachers they're hiring over there. But I just want to mention we lost a good friend of ours this past week, Roger Hedrick, and Butch and Randy and I all played ball with him. And I'm glad to hear you mention Jack Jolly, an honor that was way overdue for our good friend Jack. And I'll hang up and just let you talk, but I just want to tell them what a great job they're doing. And I certainly, some people who are really high on Providence Christian, and I'm proud of you, boys.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Larry Stewart, you need to have him on. He's probably the best principal I ever knew. You know,
I can't get him on. He won't come on.
Well, I know it's retirement and how that is, you know, but I tell you, Larry was probably the most, and still is, most respected principal, I guess, in the way he treated the kids. And I hired a lot of the teachers because I knew that he trained them well. And, you know, they loved Larry Stewart to death. And I never will forget they named the bridge after Larry going out there to Las Casas.
He still complains because the sign's so small.
The thing about it is it's a great honor, but then they sent him a bill to pay for it. And I thought, man, that's an amazing thing. But no, I tell you, Larry Stewart, he's meant so much to so many people in Rutherford County, and great athlete at MTSU. And Larry, I'm glad to know you're doing well.
You know, if you ever wanted to set up an example or a role model for what a teacher and a principal should be, all they have to do is look at Larry, because he not only taught in the classroom, he followed up with the kids at home and after they graduated to make sure that they were going in the right direction. You couldn't have a better person than that.
Right.
Yeah, Larry, he's just a great guy. And he mentioned Roger Hedrick, and I know Larry played softball with Roger, and I did too. And, Roger was just, I heard one of the teachers at our school said Roger was everybody's favorite teacher at Mitchell Nelson. So that's a credit to him, and we're going to miss him. And also, you know, Jack Jolly, we've already talked about him. He was honored, and then all that credit.
Huge crowd. And many of his former ball players that played for him over the years, and the who's who of the community and the athletic people. Oh, my goodness. And it was so good to see Jack out there so well and so active. And as we all know, he's still this year he's going to be out scouting for the White Sox, and he's already got some prime prospects. Why didn't he ever select you, Randy? Randy, you were a great ball player.
Softball, not baseball. And Larry, you know, Larry Stewart was a great softball player. Yeah. He used to play center field, and he could go get it. And
I thought girls played softball.
I guess. I don't know. We better be careful here. But, I know Dickie used to tell me one reason I probably was not.
Dickie Thomas.
Probably one of the reasons I was not select this because my hands weren't that good, you know. And Dickie always just tell me that if I would knock in more than I let in, I could still play the game. So I guess that's the reason.
What position did you play?
I played second base and shortstop some, and I was not very good either position, you know. So,
nah, he's not telling you the truth, Truman. He's a great player, but, you know.
But it's a little bit different hitting a softball than hitting a baseball. You know what I'm saying? And
did you ever – what was the guy's name that traveled around the world as a pitcher and had one outfielder?
Eddie
– I can't remember what his name is, but he could – you know, we played against him here.
Mm-hmm.
And
Eddie Fisher? No, not Eddie Fisher.
No, it's something – the king in his court.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I couldn't have hit him either, you know.
I bet you could have. You're the only man.
Nelson Smotherman now. I believe I could hit him.
You're the only man that we ever played in softball that we finally wised up and we started walking you instead of letting you hit. Because every time you hit the ball, it was over the fence. I mean, it was automatic. I've never seen anybody else do that. And it didn't matter what kind of field you played on.
Well, I guess I was blessed to, you know, be able to hit it pretty good, you know. I guess that came from hitting rocks in Auburntown with the tobacco stick, you know.
You know, I used to do that.
Yeah.
A broomstick is what I would hit them with.
Yeah, I think that helps you develop quick hands and bat speed.
And your eyes, you got where you could almost hit it with your eyes closed, the rock or whatever.
That's right.
You were hitting at the time.
In all seriousness, some of those things that you did on the farm, like throwing up bales of hay, you know, mm-hmm. that torque and throwing like that, that builds up the muscles necessary in hitting a softball or a baseball. You know, the thing about hitting a baseball, you got to be able to put the bat on the ball, and it's a little bit easier hitting a softball than hitting a baseball, especially when it's coming in there, a baseball coming in there about 90 miles per hour.
You know, you're just talking about Roger Everett. Roger's one of the best athletes, I guess, has ever around, and, you know, our condolences go out to Betty and their family and all, but Roger was a great guy. He was a great teacher, and kids loved him, and we used to play softball together and work together at the recreation park with Mr. Duffy in the summer, and Roger, we used to drive over green truck and dump garbage in the summer, but we'd laugh, and he was quite a guy.
Butch and Randy, you know, you see advertisements and things in the media from time to time about comparative scores, test scores, and things like that. And I was watching something, I don't know why, but they were talking about the United States as 25th. In math and sciences. Now, how are they able to reconcile those scores with reality as far as how well the students are doing in the classroom?
Well, you know, I guess I've seen it changed. You know, we've been in it, I've been in it 40-something years, and, you know, it used to be when we were in school that they had discipline in school.
Right.
You were required to do your work. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't any ifs and ands about it. You know, your parents required you to do it. And, you know, I think this graduation rate where you got to graduate 90% of the kids at start in high school, and you got so many kids that just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And to get kids like that through, you almost got to give them a grade to get them through. But again, I guess that's why we're blessed at Providence. We don't worry about test scores. Our kids have done extremely well. But again, we don't worry about it. We just teach them the basic classical ed is a lot like it's been around for a long time, and it teaches kids the way they learn best, and it teaches them the fundamentals. But the main thing is that classical ed teaches kids to think. Mm. You know, when we were in school, They would teach you to think. They would give you situations and teach you information, and then you had to figure things out. I think public ed now, it's all about multiple choice testing on the TCAP. And
are they going to end that?
I think they've got so much money into it. I don't see them ending. I think what they're going to do, they're going to go to a state comparative thing. But the problem with that is Tennessee is 49th in the nation. And if you compare that to the rest of the country, it's going to be pretty bad.
We're 49th?
Yeah, 49th. And, you know, it's just that's the reason they developed the TCAP test. But it's just basic multiple choice test questions, and that, and you know, life's not that away. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go back to the basics and just teach kids to think, and that's what we try to do. At, you know, Providence is just let them think and learn to read and write. And I understand now they don't even teach handwriting anymore in school. You know, and I remember when
I was hearing that. Why in the world would they take away what cursive? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. I just, from my experience teaching mathematics, especially the last few years, I think we've gone to, you know, teaching toward objectives, mm-hmm. and, you know, objectives are and items that are on test, and I think we've inhibited the critical thinking part of it, and I think that's probably the reason that our scores have gone down, you know, and of course, you know, I know a lot of people that can think but are not necessarily good math students, you know what I'm saying, but mm-hmm. I think sometimes if you just teach toward an objective, you're inhibiting that, you know. You know, there was kids at Oakland who were in the vocational trades out there that mm-hmm. could really, you know, almost do anything, and they right. were successful. They may not have been good math students, but they could think and they could figure out things. And I think that's where we've gotten behind, not being able to just figure out, you know, things.
So you guys work you're flexible with working with a child's specific fortes, their talents.
Yeah. What it. And Butch can address this more so than I can, but you know, the classical education, you have the grammar part of it, and that's where they're in the lower grades, they, you know, give them all the facts and they absorb the facts, and then in about the 7th and 8th grade, they're the logic, you know, being able to do some critical thinking, and then at the high school level, we want them to be able to express by writing right. or speaking. That's the rhetoric stage of it. So you know, that's what the education at Providence is based on.
We're fortunate too, you know, all our kids, because they have that thinking ability, have been able to go to college on scholarships, and we've got, you know, some of them now that are interviewing in honors colleges and things across the Southeast, and I think their thinking ability and their mm-hmm. ability to write and express themselves, you know, part of the college entrance to get the scholarships now, you have to be able to write, and I think that's one thing that the public arena is really suffering for.
We have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Randy King and Butch Vaughn.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Truman, I don't know how you do it.
What have I done now?
You continue to have premier people on your show. You've got two of the most well-respected and thought-of educators on there today that ever been in Rutherford County. I applaud Butch Vaughn and Randy King both for all the work they have done down through the years and for the work that they are continuing to do at Providence Christian Academy.
Well, I appreciate that, Butch, and I know they do too.
Mr. Campbell, I tell you, we've come a long way.
You guys are the same age, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, we are. We went to school together, and I think if our teachers probably knew we were in the positions we in, they'd probably turn over in their grave. But Butch was
they
a lot better student
it.
Than I was.
Yeah. I think some of them have already turned over two or three times.
Butch was a pretty good math teacher. He was a math teacher at Central some time ago.
Were you in his class, Randy?
No, we talked together, believe
it
or not.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. He was
Truman, if the fact be known, I was moved from physical education to teaching 8th grade math in the middle of the year.
You're kidding.
And Randy King had a student teacher, Jan Zitney, who was also an athlete at the university.
Uh-huh.
And Randy allowed Jan to come and teach my top-level class every day for several weeks.
Wow.
And I sat in the back of the room and asked the questions just like the students did. Well, I was able to keep that class about 2 days ahead of all the others while she was there, and I learned the math right along as the kids did. If it hadn't been for Randy King, I don't know what I'd have done. And I appreciated that. I'd never forgotten that little deal.
Yeah, but from that experience, they figured out you were principal material, and they hired you as a principal. That was a good experience.
Well, it was a good experience, that's for sure. Again, congratulations to both of you.
Thanks, Butch.
Wonderful job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Butch. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
This is Councilman Ron Washington, and I am asking for your vote April 17th. I have proven my commitment to this community through volunteerism, service, and your trust. Serving a community is not just local involvement, it's regional and national. Experience matters. Vote Ron Washington, City Council. Early voting is March 28th through April the 12th. Election day is April 17th. I am Ron Washington, and I approve this message.
The new Powerball is being described as bigger, better, more. But we wanted to be crystal clear on what bigger meant. So we asked a lottery spokesperson to clarify bigger for us.
The jackpots now start at $40 million and grow quicker than ever.
And that's bigger than before?
Yes, it's actually twice as big.
Which makes it twice as fun. Play the new Powerball today. Bigger jackpots, better odds, more millionaires. Just $2. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
So what does it take to tame Tennessee's $3 million megatraction?
Well, I crack the whip, and Hugo here runs in and scratches the $3 million mega cash ticket.
I scratch the ticket.
Yes, he scratches.
Only Hugo scratches.
I scratch.
Hugo usually scratches, but anyone can scratch.
$3 million top prize. 10 prizes of $1 million or more. The most exciting megatraction in Tennessee is ready to be tamed. Play the new $3 million mega cash instant game today. Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Play it again, sports!
Your golf headquarters.
Get new and quality used golf clubs from Nike, TaylorMade, Callaway, pre-owned, and more. Save money on drivers, hybrids, wedges, and iron sets, and accessories at Play It Again Sports on Thompson Lane.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut, open Tuesday through Saturday for dinner. You can see the difference when you walk in the door.
I think our decor speaks for itself. It's unique. We're simple. We're not a large operation, but I think that's part of the quaintness of us, I hope.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Let's check some Good Neighbor Events from WGNS. And if you live in the city limits of Murfreesboro, early voting for the city election now through April the 12th. You're voting for 3 Murfreesboro City Council members and 4 Murfreesboro City School Board members. Early voting is available at the Election Annex at 426 East Vine Street, over at SportsCom on Memorial Boulevard, and at Blackman Elementary School on Fortress Boulevard. In addition, you can early vote now at the Election Commission office on the south side of the Murfreesboro Square. Once again, early voting for the City of Murfreesboro elections now through April the 12th. And Election Day is Tuesday, April 17th. And your income tax will be prepared for free if your total family income is $50,000 or less. This is being done at 2 locations, one of them at the Greenhouse Ministries over on Spring Street. The other one's at the St. Clair Street Senior Center, and at that location, that's for persons age 60 plus only. And you do have to have an appointment at the St. Clair Street location. The Bible Reading Marathon is April the 29th through May the 3rd at the Bible Pathways Ministries on West Thompson Lane. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
Hi, I'm Chris Bratcher, Vice Mayor of Murfreesboro. I'm running for City Council, and I'm committed to make sure that Murfreesboro provides great jobs for us, our children, and our grandchildren. Did you know over the past 24 months, Murfreesboro has created 1,800 great jobs for our citizens? If you want to keep Murfreesboro moving forward, then I ask for your vote and your support for Chris Bratcher. Murfreesboro is a great city, and I want to continue to make Murfreesboro a great place to live, work, and to play. I am Chris Bratcher, and I approve this message.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Butch Vaughn and Randy King. And before we go any farther, Randy, you had a special student that works at WGNS. Or, well, I guess he works. He's here when I come in.
Yeah, Brian Barrett. He was...
Did you have him in math?
I had him in algebra, maybe one or two. Algebra one,
both.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was.
I had him 2 years.
Yeah, well, he probably can tell you how much he's used that since he's been out, right?
At least 3 times.
But it's made him a thinker, though.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I thank her. Oh, I thank her. Okay.
Well, thank goodness I had Miss Mackey for English. Thank you, know.
Lorraine Mackey.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless her heart.
I really enjoyed her class, but no, it was seeing Randy brings back all basketball memories from not only high school, but you know we broadcast hundreds of games. Mm-hmm. I guess me and Jeff, and now me and John, and it's. We were talking the other day about the time you played Lebanon for five times in 1 year to get to the state tournament and the old sectional rounds. And I talked to George Hockenberry a long time, about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about some of that stuff. So
you didn't, you obviously didn't teach English.
No, I didn't. I taught algebra, but Brian was a good student. I mean,
oh, was
he? Yeah, and he's been very successful.
I use the math and doing stats for the game. And
that's
stuff.
Right. Yeah. And he's always accurate too.
Is he?
Yes.
I thought Nelson Smotherman did those. He doesn't do those for you guys.
No. He's busy.
I know Nelson was always correct
doing other things.
Yeah.
He does come by with a few tidbits every now and then of how many times this team has beaten that team and such. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, well, it was Brian. I mean, we're fortunate to have someone like Brian. He said he covered, we're going to cover 160 games this year.
But it'll be over 160 games and coaches shows and stuff for the high schools that we will have done.
Tell
by the end of the year.
About Brian. I'll have to give him a kudo. He is one of the hardest working people I have ever known. I mean, he does everything down here, just like he's the engineer for this show and makes sure everything goes right. And I was in here one day. And he had his son in here, and they were painting the
we're getting ready to do some remodeling in the building.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So he's a jack of all trades. If you need any work done over at the school, he's your man. I mean, the man can do, and you were talking about making a person be able to think.
Yeah.
Brian is a classic example.
Yeah, I want to brag on him.
He can do anything.
I know when we had the tornado that came through here, was it Easter 2 years ago? Or
2009, I guess.
I was listening to this station, and he was calling out where the tornado was touching down. I was in the bathtub. I was listening to him. And when there's tornado warnings out in this, for this county, I turned it to this station because I know Brian's doing a great job. I mean, really, in all seriousness, he probably saved some lives, that day. So he's doing a good job.
Has Brian called any of Providence games yet?
No, but he's planning on coming out there sometime, I think.
Yeah. Come out
Are you going
to
call some baseball games?
The Lion's Den.
Is that what they call it, the Lion's Den?
I don't know.
We can.
What is it? I guess
it's a good idea.
What is Providence?
It's Lions.
You're the Lions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't come up with anything new or original or anything like that?
Well, we really hadn't thought about it much.
It's kind of appropriate.
It is. It's the Lion's Den. That's pretty good.
Got a lot of, biblical
Christians
meaning
in the
behind
lions.
You know.
Well, that's true. Well, how is your baseball team?
Well, right now we're only playing middle school, and we're competitive. You know, we've got we play our games at Las Casas. You know, we don't have a field. That's one of the things that, we're looking at for the future, to find our own field, but we're using Las Casas field, now, and our kids they're competitive. We got Mike Jones coaches them along with Kevin Carter, and they do a good job. We play, like Watertown, Woodbury. We play some of the JV teams around here. Mm-hmm. Very competitive.
Do you see a number of teachers in public schools? Do you see a number of them putting in applications at the private schools now?
I talked to a man from the State Department. He said they wouldn't be surprised if close to a third of the teachers in the state this year getting out of it because of all the evaluation process. And we're getting quite a few applications of people wanting to leave public ed just because of everything they have to go through. And, again, it's whatever they're making them do, it doesn't really help the kids learn at all. And that's what education's all about, is just teaching the kids. And I hope that I hope it changes, because I feel for the teachers and the other kids too, just what all they have to go through.
Don't you guys feel like most of the people, when they're thinking about a teacher, they're thinking about classroom hours? They're from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon or whatever. But teaching goes way beyond that. I mean, all of the hours, and we're talking about testing, all the hours that go into testing, reading the test, and then relating back, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they have any free time at all.
Right. I mean, they put a lot more into it than just the time that they're teaching their students. I mean, your preparation for your class, your grading papers, doing all the things that go along with that. It's just, time consuming. And, I don't really know exactly what the new testing procedure is, but I understand they were being evaluated several times, and along with that came a lot of paperwork, and that, doing that paperwork probably took away from the time that they were actually preparing to teach the classes. So, I think it probably was hurting the kids, so. But again, I think, one of the problems we had, I think Butch mentioned this earlier, that, if you could get the class size down, mm-hmm. Where you can work, with 10 to 15 kids, it probably never happened because of, money. You could really make a lot of progress, I think. Get class size down, and also parents involved, and holding someone accountable for the kids, when they leave the school, And I think if there's some way we could do that, I think we'd see a lot of progress.
You guys in math and science, do you allow calculators in the classroom?
When I taught at Oakland, we did. And the reason is because, when they took the test, they were allowed to use the calculators. And also, they just need to be familiar with the calculators so they can be able to do that on the test mm-hmm. and do well. But at Providence, in my algebra class, I do not allow them to use the calculators until the second half. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do that is because I want to prepare those kids, just to teach them how to use the graphing calculators, because in algebra, especially if they move on to another school, mm-hmm. There's a chance that they will need to be able to use the calculator. And I was talking to a lady the other day. She's here from China, and she said in China they do not use calculators. So they have to do everything.
They have to think on their
feet.
They have
to do the thinking on their feet. Yeah,
and it's, if you go into a restaurant or store, so kids are so dependent on calculators. Mm-hmm. That, when we grew up, just like, you give $2, and if it was $1.67, you knew in your mind how much you was going to get back.
Right,
and
automatic.
Yeah, kids really have a hard time doing that nowadays.
And that's amazing.
It is. Yeah, we get a lot of kids that come in sometimes from public ed, and they can't do long division. They've been so accustomed to using calculators, that they've taken the thought process out of it, and it's really hurt the kids, I think.
It's almost, of course, I'm not one of these people that likes all these little newfangled things for my age, but to me, it takes the so much of the thought process out of it that the calculator is actually doing the work for the student.
Right, and if you get
so is math that much more difficult now than it was 25 or 30 years ago?
I think we're basically teaching the same concepts, but the thing about it, using the calculators, you're not doing those, especially at the lower level, you're not practicing those multiplication facts and addition facts all the time. You're letting the mm-hmm. calculator do it. And if you don't practice it, you lose it, And I think that's why it's essential for kids to be limited as far as the calculator use, especially at the lower levels.
I've heard that in the new testing, you can actually use the calculator, say, in math. I may be having these things reversed, but in science, you have to actually work it out in your own mind. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard anything like that or not, but it seems like education is just... the process is all over the place right now.
Well, I guess it's been around a long time. I hope I live long enough to see them fix it, because the kids really suffer for it, And the way I think to do it is get your best teachers, from across the state and across the country, and get your best administrators and say, a principal, we mentioned John Dinkins a minute ago, just say for John's school, every school has its own set of unique issues.
Mm-hmm.
And John knows more about Wilson Elementary than anybody else does.
Right.
And, you know, my theory is that let those people do what it needs to, what needs to be done to fix their issues, and hold them accountable. You know, if you don't, it's like Harry always told us, you know, that, you know, you fix it, and, you know, if you don't, we'll have to get somebody else to do it. But, you know, when you try to teach everybody the same, you've taken away vocational ed, which I think is a big, big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot of kids that need to, that are great with their hands, and they're trying to educate everybody to go to college, and so few kids actually go and graduate that, you know, they need to be teaching them a trade. And I think that's a big where it really hurts too. But I think that leave the issues up to each school. I know that every high school's got their own issues, but hold that principal accountable and let him, you know, get the best teachers together. What can we do to fix it? You know,
when you're grading a teacher, just like you're over at Providence, you're looking at not just the score level in the classroom. You're looking at everything involved as far as their way to communicate with the kids, how to deal with their emotions, and how to be basically a role model for that particular child. And that's a lot of responsibility put on a teacher. And then they have to deal with all of the out-of-classroom things that they have to deal with. Is any of that brought up in what they're trying to do now as far as the public schools are concerned? Or is it more of a political issue than it is an educational issue?
Well, I think the reason it all started, I think it's a political issue. Mm-hmm. I think that the state legislatures and tried to prove to the people and the voters that, hey, this is what you're getting. We're going to hold the schools accountable, but all this testing and all this evaluation stuff. But at the end of the day, what's really important is, I know that we've done it, and I've always tried to do it, that you've got to hire people that really sincerely care about kids. You know, those, the saying that a kid doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
If a teacher doesn't love kids, I'll never hire them. If that doesn't come out in the interview, because to me, I think we can teach teachers to teach, but you got to have that love in your heart for kids, or you need to find another occupation.
You can make learning fun in the classroom, yes, if you have the right teachers.
Right.
But at some point, you're going to have a level for any student that's all they're going to be able to absorb.
Right.
That's all they're going to be able to understand. What do you do then with that particular, with some of the, maybe some of the other students are wanting to go up to another level or two? Mm-hmm. How are you able to work with that?
Well, you know, all we ever ask, you know, of any kid at Providence is just do your best. And we're fortunate that, you know, the environment there, the kids help each other, and having small class sizes, you know, the teachers help. And again, in the upper school, that all of our teachers spend one day a week, stay an hour extra, give kids extra help if they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one good thing. But again, if you get the basics and the kids understand, and that, like you say, the kids enjoy school and love school, they're going to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents are so involved with the kids that they help them at home, and we're very blessed that it takes everybody to do it, and we've got that environment right now.
Well, when the parent partners up with education, it becomes a lot easier for you, and it makes the child so much more successful when the parent has more time to work with a child at home. Have you seen that big of a difference over at Providence School?
Right. I mean, we do. I mean, like I said, we said earlier that, you know, there's a lot of parent involvement. You know,
You know, kids have quite a bit of work to do outside of the school. You know, mm-hmm. quite a bit of homework, and you know, the parents usually get involved and make sure that their kids are doing the work, and the parents hold their kids accountable mm-hmm. for turning in their assignments. And I think that's just, you know, they're helping the kid, and they're growing, they're getting better. The kids are, and also the parents know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So. And also, we have a situation where the parents can actually see the grades of their kids as they go along. They can look online and just see what kind of grades their kids are making, and also see if they're missing any assignments. So it's just like I said, the parents are really involved, and the kids are really attentive and want to learn. But I think this is something that the parents have instilled in them.
When a student at your school leaves and goes back to public school, is that a hard adjustment for those kids, or maybe it's just have to take one student at a time on how they would do?
Well, normally, I guess we're blessed. Our kids, it's a good academic school. You know, we talked about all the kids leaving there. You know, been on to get academic scholarships. Mm-hmm. You know, full rides. And it's easier for a kid that is educated there to beginning to go to public ed than it is for public ed to come back. But we do a lot of work in helping kids catch up that are behind, and, you know, the curriculum's different. But again, you know, we do everything we can to, and we have a lot of kids that do well. But, you know, transitioning to anything's a little bit difficult. But we bend over to help the parents and the kids in any way we can. And
well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Butch Vaughn and Randy King.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Middle Tennessee Christian School is holding a Spring Fling event on April the 14th, and you're invited to participate. The day will start with a 5K run to benefit the patrons organization, Special Kids, and the Journey Home. The MTCS 5K will start at 7 with a fun walk to begin at 8. Later in the afternoon on the 14th, there will be a shopping bazaar at 3 and a spaghetti dinner at 4. MTCS will hold a special trivia contest on the evening of April the 14th at 7. Everyone is invited to attend the MTCS Spring Fling on April the 14th.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. Starting in May, you can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
I'm Connor Moss, and I approve this message.
Connor Moss, a working man with two jobs, understands your economic pains. He loves Murfreesboro and wants to represent you on your city council. Together, let's restore a vision for the future. Reform regulation burdening small business growth, and ensure taxpayer money is not spent wastefully. Vote Connor Moss for Murfreesboro City Council April 17th, paid for by the committee to elect Connor Moss.
This is Beverly Barker at Southern Community Bank, formerly Community First Bank and Trust. While our name has changed, the same people are here to serve your banking needs. Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
Southern Community Bank, 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to Doubletree.
Come see why at Southern Community Bank we're unlike all the rest.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Butch and Randy. You guys were telling me that Kelly Holcomb did something special for you guys.
Yeah, Kelly's a great guy. You know, I'd hate for anybody to tell him that, but
pretty good football player.
Great football player. Mm-hmm. You know, he played 13 years in the NFL. You know, he's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. We really enjoy him. We give him a hard time, and he gives us a hard time back. So.
Of course.
But anyway, he got John Stallworth May 3rd.
Yeah.
May 3rd, we're going to have an athletic banquet that John Stallworth is going to speak. And, you know, he's just John Stallworth is a Pittsburgh Steeler and a Pro Bowler and won Super Bowl, four times, something like that. He's just a tremendous athlete. And also, Kelly got us a football signed by 22 Heisman Trophy winners.
Oh, so good night.
That's going to be auctioned off that night. So if anybody would like to join us on May the 3rd, we'd love to have you. Just call out school and we can set you up and get the tickets.
What time is the banquet going to be?
I'm thinking it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Okay. And it's going to be at the Swafford's place. So it's going to be a really good event. You know, Stallworth played at Alabama A&M, and I think Kelly got to know him through professional football, and they're good friends. So, you know, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's on the NFL Dream Team,
Team of the Century. He really was.
I mean,
Steelers didn't have any weaknesses at that time.
I don't think you know.
That's right. They were great.
They were good. Maybe I don't know what their weakness would have been. Bradshaw, maybe. I don't know. But he was pretty good.
They could have had Kelly, and he could have taken Bradshaw's
That's
place.
That's right. He could have done it, I'm telling you.
Is Kelly going to be there also?
Kelly's going to be there.
He'll be the MC.
Okay, he's going to introduce him and do all that.
That'll be a treat.
That's going to be a great night, May the 3rd.
May the 3rd.
And it's 7 o'clock, and it'll be over at Providence, right?
It's going to be at Lynn Swafford's house.
Lynn and Carl Swafford's home at we got all the information if they want to come by.
Okay.
Call. We'll have it on our website at providencechristian.com. It'll be a great night.
Oh, it is going to be a great night. You guys are very fortunate to have somebody like that.
Yep.
I'll guarantee you that's going to be a big crowd. If I've got some time open, I'm going to be there.
One thing about Kelly, I mean, he gives back to the community. I mean, he's been very good, you know, he's helping us do things over there and very humble, you know. Played 14 years in the NFL, and that's unheard of, you know, because average lifespan of a quarterback in the NFL is about 4.5 years. So he played 14 years, and anytime we call on him, ask him to do something, you know, he's willing to do that.
He's willing to do it, yeah.
Well, you know, we've been lucky in this community to have so many just really special people be here, athletic and otherwise. And I congratulate you guys on doing such a great job for the community. And everybody remember, May the 3rd at 7 p.m. in call Providence for the what number do they call?
It's 904-0902.
904-0902.
Right.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, thanks for doing a great job, Truman.
Thank you, Truman.
You and Brian, we appreciate it.
It's fun for us. We get to have our friends on. I mean, where else can you have a job like this? I mean,
we didn't know where you scraped the bottom of the barrel. We've heard some of your past guests, so we're glad to know that we're in the mix anyway. So.
Oh, y'all way up in the mix. All guests are great. I mean, they really are. Of course, we've got Greg Tucker. We've always got him.
Oh, man,
too.
He's a good man.
And Wednesday, we're going to have John Stafford and Jimmy C. Newman.
Really?
We're going to be talking about Cajun country.
I got you. Well, you got a real one when John Stafford comes. His grandchildren at Providence.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So you tell him we said hello.
I'll do it. He's probably listening now.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock.